Let's get to the Rashog Report brought to you by Belvan Construction. If you're considering a home reno, make sure you contact Lesser Chris and Belvan for a free quote. That's belvanconstruction.com. Ryan Rashog joins us. Well, Rashog, we'll call you the Oracle today because you had mentioned how resting Ben Bishop would be the wise thing with 5 days rest. And Bishop clearly agreed with you because news came out that this was his decision and he pulled himself from game four.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm not overly surprised. I think if you look at the tape and what happened in game number three, and you can see how much he was struggling to getting around in there. And I guess, you know, he's part of a team. He doesn't want to let his teammates down. He's not going to put himself in front of the team and say, well, be selfish about it and say, look, it's a cup final and I'm going to play. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe he costs him a bad goal at the wrong time. So, it's you know, Vasilevsky went in and gave him a chance to win, and they're confident in him. But if you think about this strategically, Bishop basically gave himself 5 days between starts and a better chance that he can finish the series.
What did you make of the Blackhawks' inability to get pucks on goal last night for the first half of the game?
Well, I just listened to what Brad Richards said after the game. He said, I don't know what people have been talking about. That's the tightest checking team we've played all year. So for all the talk about how much power their offense has, John Cooper's got them going at a pretty impressive defensive clip. I mean, two shots on net in the first period when you know they sat in that dressing room before coming out before that game and talked about new goalie, new tender, rookie, here's a kid. Let's throw everything we can at him to try and throw him off of his game and try and get to him early. And when the Chicago Blackhawks set a goal like that, they're a team with enough firepower to get that done. Tampa just didn't let it happen. Two shots in the first period. So I think that tells you all you need to know about Tampa's defense. When Chicago wanted to produce chances and shots, they weren't able to at all.
They did get the win, Ryan. It wasn't necessarily pretty by their standards, but they got the win. And I'm not sure how much a return of Bishop would change the psyche of Tampa Bay. As you mentioned, their defense didn't give a lot. And, you know, I don't blame Vasilevsky for the loss. I don't look at either one of those goals and say, wow, terrible goal.
No, I mean, there's a pretty clear difference. You know, Matt Carl was asked about it today, about the difference between playing in front of Bishop and playing in front of Vasilevsky. And there's two significant differences from his standpoint. Well, three, really. One is the experience. There's nothing Vasilevsky can do about that except get experience. The second one is the puck-handling ability. Bishop's a really good puck-handling goaltender. He's like another defenseman back there. You know, Chicago dumps it in. He gets out there. He can get it on his stick. He can make a pass up ice. And it forces the other team to just have one more thing to think about. Got to make sure you're dumping the puck in smart. Got to make sure you're not just giving it away to the goalie. So Vasilevsky does not have those kind of skills handling the puck. So that is definitely a significant difference. The other one that Carl pointed out was the communication. Ben Bishop's actually a pretty good communicator on the ice, talks a lot to his defensemen. They're comfortable with him. He's played a lot of games for him this year. Vasilevsky, the language isn't quite as comfortable and doesn't communicate quite the same back there. So they're subtle things, but, I mean, we're down to a Stanley Cup final and a best of three where minutia matters. And those are some small differences that they admitted there were.
And do you expect Bishop to be ready for game five?
I would think so. I would think that he's probably had enough time. I mean, I can't profess to have any idea what the injury actually is or how serious it actually is. But I would think that part of his willingness to not play last game, maybe the thought process that if he waited, he would be virtually a lock for the next game. So if I would have to put money on it, I would say that Bishop would be good to go and ready to play for next game.
Okay.
That's just a pure guess, though. I mean, we're all guessing.
Yeah.
We don't really know. That's the way it's been for a few days now, and we haven't been right very often.
I always find when you're in the building, you can see different things you can't always see on TV, Ryan. You know, we talk about Tampa Bay's overall defense for sure, but was their approach in the neutral zone any different to not allowing Chicago to get any of the rush? Did they change up their forecheck, sit back a little bit that you notice that maybe we don't see on TV? Like, did they play a significantly different type of game yesterday?
No, I don't think they changed a lot. I mean, if you think back to game number one, the way Tampa came out, and remember how Chicago had a really tough time generating anything early in that game? to me, it was just kind of similar to that. I think there's a way that Tampa wants to play. And when they die, and when they play that way, they're just a really stifling, difficult team to generate against. And we've seen it a few times in this series now. I think Tampa has been the better team for more of the series. And I think a lot of that has to do with them being able to find that zone, you know, defensively with the way they play. So it was early in game one. We saw it for a huge chunk of game number four. We saw it in spots through the other games. That's why, I mean, there hasn't been a single second of two-goal spread in this series. It's been a tied or a one-goal series the entire way. Tampa's just kind of able to lock it down defensively and not give Chicago that second goal that puts them ahead that, you know, would allow them to take a stranglehold on a game.
The Hawks haven't really ran into this problem before. I know Richards after the game last night said, wow, we didn't think they could check like this. So it definitely seems like it's not just the defense that are shutting them down. It's the forwards as well in their ability to get in the face of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Rick Bonus, John Cooper, by the way, didn't talk to it. Rick Bonus came out. Rick Bonus sort of made a comparison between Marian Hossa and Stamkos. And just, I mean, he had glowing things to say about Hossa, one of his favorite players to watch. But he talked about how Hossa just has prowess at both ends, right? He can generate offense, but at the same time, he backchecks as harder than anybody else. Great back pressure. And he said that's what is developing in Stamkos' game. That's the way Stamkos' game is going. And when you get a guy that offensive, not good, buying into those kinds of philosophies, other guys follow, and it kind of changed the way that a team plays, the way skilled players on a team play. They follow that lead. And so, I mean, he's not Marian Hossa as far as overall two-way game goes, but Stamkos is clearly bought in, and he's not just an offense-first type player. I mean, the goals aren't coming, but I think he's probably still playing pretty well. He's generating chances, and I don't think he's been a liability in any way. So I think that's part of it. I think that's why, because I think that Stamkos is willing, and I think other guys follow. And then they've just got some great two-way forwards. I mean, Ryan Callahan's a great two-way forward. You know, Killorn's a great two-way forward. They're just hard players to play against that make life miserable defensively.
Ryan Rashog, join us in the Rashog Report, brought to you by Bell Van Construction. Do you think Bickle gets back in for Game 5?
I don't think so. I don't know why you would. I don't know why you'd change a winning lineup. I mean, Bickle was healthy, and they left him out, and then they won a game. So I don't know why you'd put him back in. I don't know who you'd pull out. I just think it makes sense to keep it the same. So I'd be very surprised if he got back in next game.
What's your thoughts now that people have had a day covering the Stanley Cup Finals to think about the Arizona Coyotes situation?
Yeah, it seems, sorry, I'm just, big windstorm kicking up here, so just walking into the hotel. Definitely an interesting situation developing out there. I think, you know, you can kind of understand where the frustration comes from. You do a deal in good faith, and you think that everything is locked down and that finally you can stop worrying about the future of the franchise, and next thing you know, you're back in court fighting for your life. So it's no good. It's really no good, and I think the NHL has shown a commitment to keeping hockey there, but this is a different kind of wrench that's been thrown into it. I mean, a willingness to try and keep hockey in a city is one thing, but when this kind of stuff starts happening, they could end up backed into a corner here. So, I mean, we could see some significant changes here. If this doesn't, I mean, there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars in lawsuits and all that kind of stuff that happens, and this is going to drag out for a while, and I don't think it's going to be fixed or finished anytime soon. And really, it's just, I mean, have we ever not had to talk about the Coyotes and their ownership situation? It's like it's in perpetuity. It's kind of drives everybody a little nuts. So just be glad when it's over and we can stop talking about it one way or another.
Well, it would be nice. What's interesting to know how you say you had a deal in good faith. Did you know there was a clause in the deal that said they wouldn't allow anybody to work for one party and then go to the other one? And one of the lawyers from the city who resigned but was getting paid by the city then got hired by the Coyotes, and that's the reason where they look and say, hey, the clause is in the contract, and that might be the out for them. So,
yeah, well,
funny enough that the NHL, who I, hey, well, we have a contract. Well, yeah, you have a contract that states this. So you might, Bettman might have been speaking a little bit too prematurely on that one.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I've been able to dig really deep into it, but it's legalese, right? And it's lawyers and clauses and all that kind of stuff. And you're talking about the health or death of an NHL franchise in the fourth biggest market in the country. I mean, that is a massive market. And for the NHL not to be in that market, Gary Bettman's never been able to wrap his head around that. So they want to be there, clearly. But, yeah, if that is the case, then they might have pooched themselves.
Schauger, have a good one. Are you still in Chicago?
No. We were on a early flight this morning, and we just got to Tampa and taped some of our hits and stuff for SportsCenter. And, yeah, so we're back in the sweltering heat of Tampa Bay.
Oh, that's tough life, eh? You'll get over it. You'll be fine. Go into your little air-conditioning room and enjoy your slumber party with Parker tonight, and we will chat with you tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. Take care.